Here one more time in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I also want to say hi to all those that are out there on the air listening right now. I guess they're listening this evening, is that correct? Okay. I want to take opportunity to tell you first that all the brothers and sisters in Central Mexico and Southwest Mexico where we travel send their greetings, and also they want to let you know that they're praying for you guys all the time. So that said, my brother has asked me if I would speak, and I agreed to do so, and I was at first a little concerned about it because I didn't know what time I would be able to get back and make a sermon. And fortunately, today, after we left here, we went and ate lunch, and then I was able to make a sermon. So it made a little, we made it okay, we'll put it that way. What's been placed on my heart today is where the scriptures tell us that we must be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to look at Luke chapter 6. We're going to start there, verse 27 through 38. When you find your places, when we get through reading, save them, because we're going to be coming back to these verses and we're going to be studying them. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. It says here, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have hoped to receive, what thanks have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." I want to turn now, save your places, because we're going to come back, as I said. Turn now to Moroni, chapter 7, the 50th verse. We're going to read this, so we can see what the Book of Mormon has to say about being merciful and loving.
What was that reference?
Chapter 7 of Moroni, verse 50. Thank you. It says here, "And if a man be meek and lowly of heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity." So we see that we're told that we must have charity, but I think we're going to go ahead and read verses 51 through 53 so we can understand what charity really is. 51 says, "And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto the charity, which is the greatest of them all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. Wherefore, my beloved brother, pray unto the Lord with all the energy of your heart, that you may be filled with his love, which he has bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that you may overcome the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. Brothers and sisters, true charity is the pure love of Christ placed upon our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we must have this love for one another if we want to enter the kingdom of God. I'm sure we all know that. True love comes from God because God is a God of love. He's also severe, but he's a God of love. He loves all of us. These words of Christ in verse 27, where we began, we're going to go back to where we started. Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, come with so much power, like they come after the blessings. This great teacher come from God justly designed these words of truth. First, let us look at the precepts. These celestial words that are given us by Jesus Christ, these are like mirrors that reflect the merciful character of our Heavenly Father. And the purpose of them is to help us become more like him. If we want to be like him, we need to follow these words that he's given us here. Just like we read in verse 36 where we started, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. These precepts have a quadruple effect on us, brothers and sisters. First, with respect to having love, in verse 27, it tells us to love our enemies. Basically, what he is telling us is that as God loved us when we were living in sin, and he gave his only begotten Son so that we could have salvation, that is the kind of love we should feel for one another if we're truly filled with God's Spirit, if we truly have love. We can verify that God gave his only begotten Son in John 3:16. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a blessing that he was willing to do this for us. Turn with me now, if you would, to Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. And it says here, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now we're going to look at verse 28, and here it's speaking about blessings. It says, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. This is where we begin, verse 28 of where we started. Let me say that this is not always an easy task, is it? When people treat us bad and call us names, it's not easy to pray for them and bless them. It's hard. But if we truly are filled with God's Spirit, we can do it. Do we have that Spirit, brothers and sisters? The Spirit of love of Jesus Christ in our hearts? We have to ask ourselves that. I also want to mention that when he says, pray for me, it doesn't mean pray that he'll destroy them or do something to them. It means pray that he'll open their eyes, that they might repent and seek out salvation. Because he wants all of us to be saved. He loves us all despite our sins. In 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 23, it says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. It's important that we act in this manner. Can we do that? You know, Paul did. He obeyed this commandment in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. Says, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. So we can see that Paul said that they had to go through these trials and suffer tribulations. As Christians, that's a normal thing. Here in the States, it ain't nearly as bad as it is in other countries. You know, we heard during conference of stuff that's pretty rough over there in Africa. Mexico is rough right now, too. There's a lot of bad stuff going on down there. They persecute people who are Christians. And we have a sister down there who they refuse to sell her stuff or buy stuff from her store because she's a Christian. So she has to find other places to supply her store. So we don't have that problem here, but we still have trials and tribulations in the United States as Christians. But we can deal with it if we have the Holy Spirit guiding us. Let us look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, contrariwise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. By doing this, it gives evidence that we are governed by the Holy Spirit, that we're not leading ourselves, right? If we have the Holy Spirit in us, we'll be governed and we will do the things that we're called to do. Now let us talk about prayer. Jesus said, pray for them which despitefully use you. In chapter 23, verse 34 of Luke, where we started. No, we didn't start. This is another. Chapter 23 of Luke, verse 34. I want to read about Jesus here. And it says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. I'm sure everybody remembers that. Stephen also had the power of the Spirit when he was being stoned to death, didn't he? He dealt with it. We can see that in the 7th chapter of Acts, verse 60. It says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. This kind of love only comes through the mercy of God, the power of the Holy Spirit within us, leading us to deal with this stuff. We're going to talk about giving. We're going to go back to the beginning, verse 30, where we started. It says, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. It's important to remember this passage. These words are very important. Turn with me now to the 16th chapter of Alma. We're going to read verses 222 through 224. 16th chapter of Alma, verses 222 through 224. It says here, yeah, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. And now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and afflicted, and impart not of your substance, if ye have, to those who stand in need, I say unto you, if you do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain, and availeth you nothing, and you are as hypocrites, which do deny the faith. Therefore, if you do not remember to be charitable, ye are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and is trodden under foot of men. This said, this is not telling us that we have to give somebody everything they ask for, but it is telling us that we should give to those who ask. In other words, if a beggar asks for money for food, we should either feed him or give him some money. But if a drunk, and I've said this before, if a drunk asks us for money to eat, it'd be much wiser to give him food, because if not, he'll probably spend that money on alcohol. That's pretty normal. But denying help is proof that the love of God is not in us. As it says in 1 John 3:17, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, says here, but whoso has this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Pretty obvious that the love of God cannot dwell in us if we are not willing to look after our brothers and sisters. It's very important. The needs of those brothers and sisters is important to God. Let us look at the examples. The mercy of our Heavenly Father in contrast with that of the natural man. He said the world loves its own, right? This is presented to us in a triple negative aspect. First, our mercy should not be like that of the sinners, but instead it should be like the mercy of our Heavenly Father. The mercy of the world is like a horrible, filthy cistern. But the mercy of the Lord, in comparison, is like a crystal clear river. A lot of difference. In verse 32, where we started, it tells us our love should not be like that of the sinner. For if ye love them which love you, what things have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. So as we can see, sinners love each other. Why? They deal with each other. But the love of God reaches everybody. He loves everybody. He doesn't like their sins, and we don't have to like their sins either. But we do have to love our brothers and sisters. If we see them doing things they shouldn't, we still have to love them. It would be wise to advise them that God is not happy with their actions. And if they don't accept it, well, that's on their shoulders. But us, we should still love them. And here it tells us that we should be merciful as our Heavenly Father is also merciful. In verse 33, it tells us our works should not be as those of the sinner. I'm going to read verse 33 once more. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do even the same. The standards of the Christians would be much higher than the standards of the world. It should be a total different thing, because the worldly only show mercy to those who show mercy to them. But as it says, our Lord is merciful even to those who are hateful. And Jesus said, be ye therefore merciful, as also your Father is merciful. In verse 34, it says that our grace should not be like that of the sinners. It says, and if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thanks have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. I believe this clearly tells us that if we loan money to our brothers and sisters, we should not collect interest off of them. It's not proper to charge your brothers and sisters interest. But our Heavenly Father gives to the sinner just and the just without expecting anything in return. As it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. And it says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Be merciful, as also your Heavenly Father is merciful. So your justice should be superior to the justice of the scribes and the Pharisees, because it's not you which acts, but the Holy Spirit that is within us. That is what is acting. And if we truly have the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus is our Father. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 20, we're going to read that just to, so you know I didn't invent that. It says, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Okay, now we're going to look at the promises. If the love of God has been poured out upon our hearts in such a way that we can love our enemies and do good to them without expecting anything in return, our Father who sees in secret will recompense us publicly. We're going to read verse 35 where we started. Well, might not read it all, but we'll read a piece here. It said, our reward will be great in this life, because our life will be governed by the divine spirit. It will be also be great in the next life, because even being amongst an evil and perverse generation, ye have glorified our Heavenly Father by letting your light shine before men. In verse 35, it says that your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 21-23. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. After everything, Jesus tells us to be merciful, as your Father is also merciful, as we've repeated several times. Are we truly merciful, brothers and sisters? Do we truly care about the problems of our brothers and sisters? Or is it just a burden when somebody has a problem? We should think about that. We should be very grateful that we live in this country. I've said it before, but I see that many people really don't appreciate that they live in this country. It's the best country that I know of for a person to live in. I'm going to give an example. We have brothers and sisters that we dropped in on unexpectedly, and the ladies were washing clothes on a board out back. It's actually a rock. But they weren't using soap. And I said, why aren't you using soap to wash the clothes? And they said, it's either buy food or buy soap. Obviously, food was more important. And yes, we did buy food for them and soap. So here in the States, very few people have that situation. I'm not saying all don't, but most of the time, there's a government agency where they can go and get some help, get food and stuff at least. So it is a good place to live. Does it have its problems? Of course it does. We see a lot of things that ain't according to Scripture. And this country was founded on God's Word. So we really should be grateful for living in this country, because it's still the best place in the world that I know of to live. Brothers and sisters, I ask that you would look to your hearts and ask yourself if you're truly being merciful to your brothers and sisters. God bless you, and thank you for your time.